Father God, we bring this rescue
of
these children in Thailand.
Hallelujah.
No distance in the spirit, no distance in prayer, Father God. And we join together our prayers, and we pray for the rescue of all these people, all these children, and they're the remaining ones, and the soccer coach. And we pray for safety of the rescuers, Lord. And we bless that the family of the one that passed away trying to save them. No greater love it has a person than to give up his own life. And he did that for these children, Lord. He made that attempt. So bless his family. Help them get through their grief. But Father God, we just ask you to empower the rescuers. To just, we ask your heavenly hosts to be dispatched to watch over all the rescue equipment, Father God. And to bring ideas and new techniques that people had never thought of before to rescue these children, Lord. And we just ask that by your mighty hand, you hold back the rains that are filling the caverns and so forth. Lord, hold back the rains until all those children are out, Father God. We thank you for your mighty hand moving on their behalf rescuing these children and their coach and safety. We speak safety to all the rescuers, Father. And we thank you. We thank you for the four that already have been rescued, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We praise your
holy
name.
Hallelujah.
We know your hand is moving on their behalf, and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I bring you Kevin before you, Lord.
Lord,
and like we prayed the other night, we speak healing to Kevin, and we say this is the last time he'll have to have surgery in that area, Father God, because it is done. It is a done thing. His body is healed once and for all. This type of infection is not coming back. We bind that infection in his body from ever returning to him in the mighty and holy name of Jesus. We speak healing and blessing to Kevin, Lord. And Father, we just ask you to move by your mighty hand to open a spot, and whether it be Maples, but not this other place he was talking about. He didn't want to go. But he knows the Maples, and it's a big place, Lord. We pray a place be open for him, or another place somewhere that is a good place for him to heal up and to rest up and to just get on with his life. Like we prayed the other night, we prayed that his jobs, he just got these jobs, he's so proud, Father God, that these jobs are saved for him.
Thank you, Lord.
He will not lose those jobs, especially the one in Shop and Save. And that we pray understanding of his bosses, that he had surgery, and he's trying to get back as soon as possible, Father God. By your mighty hand, we thank you, and we know that he is made whole by your name, and in the name of Jesus, by the stripes of our Lord Jesus. Kevin, we say, be made whole in Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
And Father God, we just thank you for that. We thank you for moving on his behalf and all those trapped children on their behalf. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you and worship,
Lord.
And honor your Son Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Thank you,
Father God. We just worship you. We thank you. And we say your Holy Spirit is welcome and needed in this place. And we just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. God, the righteous judge, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be a very tempest all around him. He shall call above the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continuously before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and all the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God at thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct, all right, I will show the God of salvation. Oh, I'm sorry. I will show the salvation of God.
I don't know if you noticed in your bulletin or not, but the Lord dealt with me about supply through battle. And so many times where many of us have been in the storm, and I thought what Rita and Vicki both said about being thankful for what you have. And the Lord has been really talking to me in regards to 1 Samuel. So I want to give you a few minutes because you're not always in that book of the Bible. But I'd like you to look at 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. We're also going to look at 1 Samuel 30, verse 19 and 20 and 26. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, that is really getting in his presence. That is spending time with him. So no matter what comes your way, you're going to receive strength from the Lord. And sometimes, individually, we have to strengthen ourselves in the way of saying, I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a son of the King. And we need to constantly continue to say that to ourselves, to build ourselves up. This is what the Lord showed me, that all of us in here are more than a conqueror, more than an overcomer, and we're more than a survival. We have been adopted in Him. That is powerful. One sentence alone, as I wrote it down on a sheet of paper, he said, don't be fooled. Satan is out there. He desires to destroy your destiny. He desires to destroy the seed of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, But that means your family that's talking about this church is talking about maybe grandkids. I mean, he wants to destroy the seed. You have to be such a warrior in him, know who you are, that you can come against that. Right. You can come against it by just saying his name. You can say it by the blood. Amen. You can say it by just holding the word. Satan has to bow down to that name of Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, even when you're alone and things aren't doing what you want them to do and fear sets in, you still got to take a stand. We spoke with Kevin about that. Don't let fear take over you, because that's exactly what Satan wants to do. But he wants to destroy. That means get rid of. The other thing I put down here is that we are going to I want to look at David's heart. He did a lot of things wrong, people. But God knew his heart. He knew his heart when it came to the Amalekites. He knew the spirit of the enemy was coming against him, but he knew how to fall before God himself, and God strengthened him and brought him through. I think it's so powerful to understand this today. And the other thing that the Lord showed me was that David took the spoils from the enemy. And we might just kind of read over that and say, oh, that's really cool. But it's very specific, the things that he took. And many people are very critical of that because they don't think you should take anything, you know, from the enemy's camp. But if the Lord's told you to take those things from the camp, you do it. Amen. And the other thing I wrote down here is, what do you do with it after you take it? What are you supposed to do with it? And so I want to discuss this today and spend some time in it. I also want to spend just a few minutes, if I can, about the lepers, about Esther, about Haman, and the cross. And we are to every day, not once in a while, not just Sunday morning, but we're to build our temples. We're to get our temples before the Lord and ask him by the Holy Spirit to purify the things that are not right in each one of us. We are to build the kingdom. So I really felt that this was so powerful, that for you to understand what you're to do and how the Lord will take care of you during the battle. And some of you are facing spiritual battle in here, but I want you to know that God's plan is good. And his plan isn't always our plan. But when we follow his plan, we will become victorious. Amen. And one of the most important things that the Lord put on my heart, and I just scribbled this down on a piece of paper, is to trust in him. To trust in him for everything that you're going through. And I also put down here that when you come through the battle, you will be so victorious, because you've taken the enemy's spoils, and the Lord's going to tell you what to do with them, hopefully, today. And so, anyways, as I kind of prepared this, I thought, wow, Lord, this is kind of cool. So we find the principle that the Lord's trying to teach us in this book of 1 Samuel is how he supplies us, how he takes care of us. David's life offers that example. And while David and his army were away, the Amalekites raided the village of Ziklag. They went, they invaded, they took the women, they took the children, they burned down buildings, they just destroyed the whole town. But when David returned, he was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Where were you? Why weren't you a part of this? Blah, blah, blah. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And so the very first strategy that I want to teach you today is to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that we are in a spiritual warfare, and so was David. And it wasn't just about David. It was an all-out assault against God's eternal purposes. I give you fair warning. that when you come against God as elect, you better know what you're doing. Because I have seen great destruction come because of that. It could come to you personally, or it could come to someone that you're very close to. When someone is anointed and appointed of God, you might not like them. You might not like what they do, whatever. They might not even like you. But the Lord said, trust in him, know the word, and walk through it, and he will be with you. Amen. Don't back down when the enemy comes against you. We know the prophesied Messiah was to come through David's descendants. And now Satan wanted to take away every woman and child through whom the seed might come. You see, Satan has a bigger plan. He just doesn't really care about Joe O'Leary sitting here. He cares about, his children, his grandbabies, the generations to come. You see, it's not just about little old you, and yet you're important to God. I don't want to be misunderstood. But it's what affects the generations.
It's a bigger picture,
it's a bigger picture than what you're seeing. Uh-huh. It's great. It's it's big. And we can see this through David. But this is the focus of all spiritual warfare. The enemy has always been determined to destroy that seed. And that fact hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Satan is still out to destroy every person who is born again and stands for what Jesus stands for. And he does this by attacking all of us here, attacks our seed, and even tries to remove our testimony. Now, I'm going to use this as an example. When you have a testimony to give, it's not, hey, look at me. The testimony is a testimony for what Christ has done in you. And what it does is it sets other people free. In the good old days, you would have a certain day of the week. It could have been a Wednesday night when people went to church. And there would be a testimony time where people would give their testimonies. And it would just really set people free. And I really, really believe in my heart that the Lord is moving into that direction more and more. What has he done for you? And it's not, oh, wow, golly, I wish that person would shut up. Oh, my gosh, now that person just talked for another half hour and I want to get out of here so I can beat the crowd to go to Papa J's and eat. A testimony is to glorify God. Let's get real today.
Yes,
amen.
That's right.
He doesn't, why come?
Right, why not?
That's right.
And I think it is so important to hear this morning.
Right.
David felt threatened when he heard the grumbling of his men. I was expressing to someone that if you're in leadership, there's going to be people that are going to grumble. There's going to be people that don't like what you do. There's going to be people that are going to say this and do that. But if you can stand with what the Word of God says and why you are doing it, and you have a vision and a mission that the Lord has for you to do, no matter what the enemy says, no matter how the enemy comes against you, you're going to stand in that because that's what the Lord told you to do.
Amen.
And it's important today.
He can use even
He can use
Christian.
Anybody.
Yes, he can even use
I will never forget, I won't even say who it is, it's not important, but I was standing next to a person who, oh my gosh, I've known the Lord for 30-some years, and someone got up and did a testimony, and their comment was, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, they were allowed to get up there at the pulpit and say something. I just can't believe it. And I just, what came out of my mouth, I said, the Lord can use anybody, even an ass. That's what I said. And the person kind of looked at me, and I just kind of came out, you know. I mean, he can use whoever he wants.
Amen.
It says, if we don't worship him, we don't praise him, we're not here for a purpose, the stones are going to cry out for him. I mean, I don't know about you, but I used to say that over and over again. Oh, you know, these flowers up in heaven are just a waving and exalting who he is. I think we should be exalting who he is. We've got the privilege of coming, you know, worshiping the Lord. I just find it so powerful. But they want to stone David. But David knew in his heart, and his heart was right with God, and the scripture says he encouraged himself in the Lord, and immediately this man of faith took off in pursuit of the Amalekites. And he quickly overtook them, rescuing every person and possession that had been taken. David recovered all. And that is Samuel 30, verse 19. He and his men lost nothing. Neither a son, nor a daughter, nor spoil, nor anything that had been taken from them. All told, everything told, they weren't even missing like a bag of anything. Everything was there. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes certain things happen to a certain person, and you know, we have to have that holy anger inside of us, and it's and go after that. Well, it must have been the Lord's will. What? The attacks that have come to people, that's not the Lord's will.
No.
If you see a friend that's in trouble, you should have enough inside of you that you're going to go. You're going to go and pray for that person. Yet the Amalekites had plundered other towns also. So David took all the spoils into his possessions as well. This is verse 30, chapter 30, verse 20. David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle. And David said, man, I've got the spoil now. Like Abraham, David was more than a conqueror. We are more than a conqueror. He used them to maintain the purpose of God. David knew God had anointed him to be king over the people, and now he had to repair the damage that was done to what? To his reputation. So he sent spoils to those who had been annihilated from him, seeking to unite God's people, the unity of the people, bringing the people together. He sent some of the spoils unto the elders of Judah, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoils of the enemies of the Lord. Wow. And to them which were in Hebron, eventually Hebron would be the city that David was king over. So he went and took the spoils from the enemy, gave them away, and he became the king of that city. How powerful. That's God's plan. Who'd even think about all that, right? Here is yet another example of God's purpose in our spiritual warfare. We're to take the spoils from battle, not for just ourselves, but for the body of Christ. Well, I'm doing this program. I'm doing that program. I'm going to do this. Wow. What would it be like if you gave to a program that was going on to help them out? It's not always what can I get, it's what I can give. The resources that we gain are also meant to bless someone else. In David's case, God was also maintaining his house by preserving his seed. God told you to go do something and you go do it, your seed will be protected. He's going to protect. I believe that because Joe and I do this church and minister out there and take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan didn't come against us, he came against our seed. But he has no power and authority over that. And so because of spiritual warfare, we know how to come against that. I want you to really hear that. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then things are going to change and God will take care of those that belong to him. I just hear this so much from the Lord. David would provide the lineage leading to Christ. Yet up to that point, David was seen throughout the land as a fugitive, a stealer, a person who caused trouble. But now all the spoils, all the herds, all the livestock, the wagons, loads of gifts, proved that David was a victorious warrior, and he gave it out. But this was riches given to him in the battle. God provided. When you're in the battle, trust God, he will provide. Can't make a bill? Trust in God, he's going to help you make that bill. This church wouldn't be in existence today, people, if we didn't trust in the Lord for what we bring into this church and what we have to pay out. You have no idea. We've showed you a very small thing, but we're trusting in the Lord. Number two, God's people took spoils in a miraculous way. 2 Kings verse 6. In this particular passage, which you might want to read later on, the Syrian army besieged the city of Samaria during a famine. You see, I don't know about you, but when Satan seems to attack, it's always when you're not really expecting it, number one, but it can also be when you're the lowest, like you're weary, you've been tired, you know, you haven't built yourself up. Are you kind of with me in what I'm saying? The Syrians simply camped outside the city, waiting for the Samaritans to starve. That's what the Word of God says. Conditions got so bad within the city walls that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver. We've never been, or I should say, desperate enough to eat a donkey's head. We've never been, or I'll say, I'll speak for myself, desperate enough that the Lord hasn't provided. But that's what they were waiting for. People grew so desperate, including two mothers, they ate their babies. That's being pretty starved, isn't it? I can't even fathom that. I can't picture it in my mind. Even the bereaved mother who went to the king to complain that her friend wasn't sharing, it was sheer insanity. That gives you an example of how bad it was in that time. Spend some time and see how desperate the times were. People grew desperate. What about the story about the four lepers in the Bible? They lived outside the city walls. And they had to be outside the city walls because, you know, they were lepers. And most lepers, you know, couldn't handle the sunshine because when you get in the sun, your body parts deteriorate and the fingers will fall off and whatever. Leprosy still exists today. Don't you ever think it doesn't? And so they made up their mind, and you can read this in 2 Kings 7, verse 3 through 4. They didn't want to sit there no longer. You ever, look, Joe and I were watching this, I don't know the name of the evangelist, his name was Chris, he's a black man.
Nigeria.
He's from Nigeria. Oh, okay. They had praise and worship going on. And the people were hungry. They were thirsty. They wanted an answer. They had medical conditions beyond what I can even speak to you this morning. So there were people leading praise and worship. When they got finished with praise and worship, the evangelist walked through. He got up and he came in. And the glory of the Lord was so powerful in the place that when he walked in, people stood up and clapped. And it wasn't about him, but they knew what he was bringing. They could feel it. And the whole place ignited. I remember days like that. I remember seeing people so thirsty and hungry for a touch of the Lord. And when he walked through what was so amazing, and it just broke my heart, really, this one lady that was there, she had come a great distance. And the doctors told her she had 1 month to live. 1 month. And when you looked at her, she looked terrible. I mean, she'd lost all of her hair from chemo and everything that she had done. But she wanted to be there. She just knew that she had to be there. And Joe, tell me if I'm correct in what I remember. He said, well, who brought you? She was so sick. She was so dying. And then this evangelist said, who brought you? And she said, my daughter dropped me off at the door. It broke my heart. Because you see, we don't see families anymore in churches. Or they don't believe the way you believe, so hey, you know, they'll drop you off and do their own thing. But anyways, he took her, and I expected him to pray right then and there for her. And he took her, and they just walked. They just walked. I just thought this was so powerful. They just walked in the Spirit. And he reached her in many times into him, which is very unusual for a male evangelist to pull in a female because of all the liability, garbage, joking. And so anyways, he was pulling her in. And all of a sudden, she just went, ooh, like this, and went back. And he told the people to set her back up again. And she was totally healed of cancer. She had 1 month to live. I was so excited. There were people who had arthritis. There was people who couldn't walk, but they were so hungry for the Lord to touch them that he touched them. But you see, it set the other people free because they could see it happening. It was just so powerful, wasn't it, Joe? And Joe and
three little boys. This woman had three little boys, and she brought them home. And they were she says they haven't spoke or heard since they've been born. Mm-hmm. Three of them.
Oh.
And they were just kind of.
Yeah, like the little kids would be up front.
Like around. You could tell they just weren't into what was going on or whatever. And he looked at him and he touched the mother and boom, she was.
She was gone.
Down.
She was out
and he went over to the kids. And he started to cry. And he just laid hands on him. And he told the people to start praising the Lord. And all of a sudden the kids go. Like this. The sound that they had never heard.
Yeah.
You know. You could see it was like. They were frightened by it.
Yeah.
They could hear. And I didn't see him speak. But you could see the hearing hit them.
Oh,
they just went like this. You know, like, what is that? They had never heard.
Yeah. And
before.
So
the ears were unplugged. I don't recall about the speech, but you said they were healed.
Yeah. And it was so powerful when we were watching that. You know, I feel like the Lord is saying, you know, you got to get that hunger and thirst again for Him, you know? And I really believe that there's so many people. Well, the people that are here in this church, I believe, are so full of the Lord that I'm just waiting for the harvest to get here.
That's right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And the Lord said not to give up, not to turn away. Wendell says it every time he gets at the pulpit. But, you know, we just have to keep on praying that the people are going to be hungry and thirsty.
Yes.
And that in their times of trouble and the storm, He's going to take them through it. He's going to touch them. But it hit us so hard to see this. And it says here, the king of Israel had, let me go back a little bit. The Lord had made the host of the Syrian army to hear a noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. These lepers were so devastated what was happening to them. But what was so great is because many people were killed within the town, that those lepers that went outside trusted God and they were totally healed and they were the only ones that lived. And if you want to take time and read it, it was 2 Kings 7, 3 through 4 is what I put down. When the lepers realized this, they went from... So all the people are gone. And I want you to hear this. The people were gone. The lepers went back into the city. Went from tent to tent and ate and made themselves full. So they were never allowed to have food. But the Lord provided for them, and it says that they went from tent to tent, eating and drinking to their full. Then they loaded their arms with gold, clothes, and other goods, and hid them away. And finally they went back to the city gate and called out to the porter, "Come with us. You won't believe what we have." You won't believe it, but the Syrians have fled their camp, and it's a ghost town right now. And look what the Lord has provided for us, the lepers. You see, when we really know, we really trust the Lord, no matter what we're going through, He's going to take us through. It says, the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. And that's once again, God's people emerged more than conquerors. Satan tried to starve these people to death, these lepers, but isn't that something? They got the spoils from the war. So are you kind of getting the picture here? Are you beginning to understand the reason for your present battle that you're in? Those who put their trust in the Lord are going to be glorious and victorious over the power of the enemy. God wants you to know that you're going to come through victorious. You might not be able to do this, to do that, but He is going to provide. You'll come out of this battle with more spoils than you can imagine. I think it's powerful. Come on. Paul described this when he writes, "Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," Ephesians 3:20. You have to have enough trust to know He's going to take care of you in that battle and what you're going to have. I mean, hey, Karen, can't we use you as an example here on this tape? You prayed for a job. God gave you a job. You've been able to pay some of your bills. Hey, thank you, Lord. You're getting out of some of the debt that you were in. Hey, that's miraculous. Hallelujah. And be able to bless others. That's another whole sermon in itself. And I think this too. I put down the third example was Esther. Excuse me. Here's a story of intense warfare. One of the greatest spiritual battles in all scriptures. Again, the devil was trying to destroy God's purpose on earth. And this time it was through Haman, who had evil spirits. Most of us sitting here should know the story. But this wealthy, influential man persuaded the king of Persia to declare an edict calling for the death of every Jew. Don't you know that the book that we're studying, don't you think there could have been an edict that could have been proclaimed that no Christians will have a cross on their property and come against Christians? Come on. I believe it could happen. So where is your faith and where is your trust and will He take you through it? I believe this is a real end time message. Again, I put... The first Jew in Haman's sights was righteous Mordecai, Esther's uncle. Haman had the gallows built especially for Mordecai, but you know the story, he was hung on that same place that he had prepared for someone else. But Esther intervened, calling God's people to prayer. Number one, prayer. And laying her life on the line to countermand Haman's order. God exposed the wicked scheme. If you get in the presence of the king, he'll show you the wickedness from the what the enemy is trying to do against you. He will. But it's not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. And you have to look at it through spiritual eyes, not your human eyes. Yet Haman's mansion wasn't the only spoil taken in this story. Scriptures tell us that the Jews had light, they had gladness, they had joy, they had honor. You want to take time and read that in Esther? I mean, I don't know about you, but I love telling the story. I usually tell it to women. But, you know, when she went before King Artaxerxes, you didn't come into this the big area where he sat. And I love talking about the scepter. Because if the scepter would have come down, she'd been gone. She'd be, her head would have been cut off right there. But it said she touched the scepter. And when you touch the top of the scepter, that's like the Lord giving you honor. You touch God's scepter, he's going to take you through that battle and give you what the enemy has stolen from you. It's touching the top of the scepter. Powerful message. And Haman, who had come against her, you know, Artaxerxes loved her so much and listened to her. You know, that he was the one who was hung. And I really think it was this. And all of his sons.
Oh, yeah.
All of his sons.
They were terrible.
You see, when you do sin, when there's certain things you're doing wrong, you're not just affecting you. Mm-hmm. You're affecting people that the Lord's placed in your, placed in your care even. Mm-hmm. When you do something that is wrong, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your children. It can affect their children. Mm-hmm. And there's so much out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as women, you think of the different things that come towards you. Could be a pass. Mm-hmm. Could be someone wanting something from you and a sinful way, and you have a choice to make how you deal with that, especially in a marriage situation. Because you see, when that happens, I made a choice. Well, I want my daughter to see the good things. I want her to see the choices I made and how they were good. I want my son to know that you have to respect. You have to respect females. So it wasn't just me. It affected my children. It'll affect my grandbabies. It's like the Lord is having us look at the things that we do, how it affects other people. Are you hearing me?
Ripple effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's uh-huh. So big now. Mm-hmm. And it's like we find an excuse to make it okay.
So we don't take responsibility and blame it on everyone else.
Well, yeah, we do. And I remember what sermon that was. The Lord loved me to talk on that as well. You know, the blame game is what I call it. Mm-hmm. You see, the trials not only gain us spiritual riches, they keep us from being, they keep us strong, they keep us pure, they keep us continually wanting to get into his presence to change, to for him to do some things with us. Mm-hmm. And the fourth thing the Lord placed on my heart was the cross. And that's Colossians 2:15. He says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus plundered the devil at Calvary. I think if the devil knew, he would have never been there. stripping him of all of his power and authority. When Christ rose victorious from the grave, he led an innumerable host of redeemed captives out of Satan's grip.
Hallelujah.
And that blood-bought procession is still marching on today. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the blood.
Amen.
I'm thankful that, you know, the grace that he gives every day to us is so powerful. Yet amazingly, Christ's triumph at Calvary gave us more than victory over death. It gained us for an incredible spoil of life, grace, mercy, peace, forgiveness, strength, faith, and all the resources that we need to overcome in life.
Amen.
That's what he did for us. He made every provision for maintaining our temple.
Amen.
Christ is the Son over his own house. Whose house are we living in? It is our temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Consider Solomon. He's a type of Christ in the Old Testament, and he builds the temple. We built the church with all the resources that David, his father, got from the spoils. Of the enemy.
Hallelujah.
That's powerful.
Yes.
I cry out, hey, Lord, you know, you gave us this beautiful church. I'm thankful for it. But, you know, we need this. We need that. We need this to come in. You know, and I just feel deep down inside, that shouldn't be just my plea. We all should plea, hey, Lord, what are we to do? If he was to give it to us, give us this or give us that, would we really know what to do? I think we're practicing. We're getting prepared.
Amen.
Christ has given us everything necessary for this maintenance to take place. He has adopted us into his household. How powerful that is. He stands at the corner of the house. He's the cornerstone. And he's cleaned the entire house. And finally has given access to the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
So by faith, we are now fully established, complete temple. Jesus just didn't build a house. He completed it, and he will finish it. Hallelujah. The cooperation begins when our mind's in conflict, when we're going through different things, that we get in his presence and we know that he's going to take care of us in the battle. Excuse me. I love that. He gives us strength to go on, power over the enemy for every spiritual battle that we face. I mean, you guys, I might as well be honest with you. You know, it was like, When I got hit with this diabetes and studied the diabetes, that was my blood. It was my blood.
Yes.
And I have the blood of Jesus Christ in me, and I was ticked that he felt that he could come and invade my blood. And that's what he's done. So one of the things that I have been saying is, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. I am healed.
Amen.
I am strong. I have strength.
That's
I know
right.
who bought me. I know where I'm going. Every
yes.
breath that I take belongs to him. We have to constantly build us. But the inside, the human side of me was ticked that Satan would even try to rob me of that. Mm-hmm. I told that to Joe. I was angry. So I went through this little pity party thing, felt sorry for myself. Oh, Lord, you know, if I got bitterness, you know, take the bitterness if I've got this, Lord, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I just went through this whole thing like, oh, man, let's see, who didn't I forgive? Well, Lord, you know, I want to forgive that person. Yeah, I went through all that. And I realized that I had to fight and claim that blood of Jesus through me.
Amen.
I really want you to hear that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
That it's so powerful to know the blood of Jesus is within you. And when you go for your little blood test and your work window, that's why I was so ticked off when I went in there and saw you laying in that bed and all that blood gushing from your veins. That ticked me off. The blood of Jesus is so precious.
Yes.
It's healing. It's powerful. And I really mean that. It's like we got to shake ourselves off and,
yes,
you know, see the attack that's come.
We got to get that. That's the whole key.
We got to get it. We just got to get it up here,
in
Lord.
Our hearts,
help
our
us.
Minds. Yeah, believe it. That's
yes. And I just feel that so strong in me this morning to say that. Strength to go on. Power over the enemy in our spiritual battles. Mm-hmm. And on that day when we stand before the Lord, He will reveal this to us. Do you remember what you went through on that occasion? Do you remember how I intervened?
Amen.
Do you remember what I did?
Amen.
Do you remember
Amen.
My divine order on
Amen.
You?
Mm-hmm.
It's without spot, blemish, or anything. That's
Amen.
What I've done for you.
Hallelujah.
It was all secured. And the battle is won. Just step
That's
into
right.
it.
That's
wow,
right.
that was powerful. I could barely write the paragraph.
Hallelujah.
Imagine what it would be like on that day to take the devil on the tour of your temple. You did this. This is what Jesus did for me.
Pastor,
you could.
Yes. Could you explain? You keep saying temple. What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about your body.
Right.
Our body.
I'm talking about your body being the temple of the Holy
yes.
Spirit.
Yes.
I'm talking about, wouldn't that be something when you say, well, yep, you gave me that zip right here, but I want you to know I claimed that zip to be gone. I mean, we can make
yes,
it so
yes.
simple here,
yes.
but it says that we take the devil on the tour of our temple. We show him the results of all the attacks that he has done and what he's done and how he meant to destroy people, but that the trial proved to keep me pure.
That's right.
That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It saved, it gave me patience. It caused me to trust more. And I mean, believe me, I say this, and I'm trying to say it in a nice way. I walked with the Lord for a long time. I trust Him greatly. I do. Mm-hmm. I remember telling Joe that I believe the Lord was going to appear by our house, and if He told me to walk on the water, I'm going out walking on the water. I mean, I have that much faith. And I really believe that when the attack, you might not see it that way, but when the attack comes, he wants to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I plan on my family, not my children, they're already believers, but I plan on my family, Joe's family, to be in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I've failed many, many times trying to say what I want to say. But we got a responsibility. And I believe, I shared it just a few minutes with Karen. I'm just going to share this with you. I just feel I'm supposed to for some reason. But when we got to the hospital, I'd never been in Section C before.
Second floor, kind of old part. They
yeah.
call it the historical
part. The old
part.
I've been in
something.
A and B. I'd never been in C. So anyways, we had to walk a long ways. And we got over there and we had to go on the second floor. And it was kind of creepy because in the elevator, it's like you're facing this way and you're hitting the buttons, but the door behind you is what opens.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you turn yourself around and you kind of do one of these little peek things. I don't know about you guys, but does this look like the floor was supposed to be on, Joe? Yeah, I think so. I mean, don't you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
So
you
anyways,
we... on the board floor.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. So I'm just trying to tell you this for a reason. When we got off the floor... And I'm telling you, there was such a heaviness on the floor, I thought I'd be sick. So I grabbed Joe ever so often, which I do if I get dizzy. And I thought, man, Lord, this is a heavy floor.
It's kind of dark.
Yeah, it was dark.
Uh-huh.
It was heavy. And I said, you know, Lord, you got Kevin on this floor. Yeah, Kevin's on this floor. I gotta tell you this, is the truth. So we get there, and we get over to the where it kind of starts getting a little lighter. And it says, and Joe realized that that was Kevin's door to go through. Am I making sense?
Uh-huh.
And so we walk in everything, and so Joe goes first because it's a makeup, right?
Yeah, it was
uh-huh.
curtain.
The curtain was totally closed. It was closed off. So, you know, you're hoping they've given you the right room and who knows what. And so anyways, the Lord had given me something to give to Kevin. And... we're sitting, so Joe goes in, he goes, yeah, and Kevin's real excited to see us. And
kind of nodding.
Yeah, he was kind of nodding.
Much slapping, right?
Yeah, so we prayed for him, but there was a light in the room. The room was lighter. But the Lord said that the guy that was behind us, which I didn't know was the guy, I'm just repeating what the Holy Spirit said, had to leave. And so anyways, they were loud, oh my gosh.
They were very noisy.
Noisy, loud.
Talking to.
It was awful.
Well, all kinds of noise.
It was just loud. Sorry for putting it that way, just loud. And so as we're praying, Jill started out the prayer, and we were praying for Kevin and everything, I went, oh, they've already gone. Oh gosh, you know, I realized.
It just hit me like, boy, it's really quiet.
It was gone. They left. The Holy Spirit let these people leave. They were gone. And so the whole presence of the Lord went from Kevin's bed all the way to the other end. Are you kind of with me? And anyways, we did what the Lord told us to do with Kevin and everything. And there was just such a great presence in the room. And they had a person that was, I went, oh, that person's gone. That person's gone. Joe kind of looks over like that. The Lord took care of that.
Amen.
I said, they're gone. They're gone like that, you know. And Joe took a look and they were gone.
Discharged or
yeah, we have no idea, but the Lord said they were going to be gone, so there was a great peace in that room. You understand?
Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
And so the Lord, so I get up and I'm anointing the door, anointing Kevin's bed, and Joe's praying, and we're praying and stuff like that, and Kevin started to feel better. But my point was, as we move closer and closer in that time, you need to have that discernment. And if you've got that discernment, you need to be on, didn't we study a new level?
That's right.
A new level? Mm-hmm. And I'm just telling you that you need to be so full of Him and trusting in Him that He's going to help you to accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish.
Amen.
Because it's not just about your little situation, your little situation, or, you know what I'm trying to say? It's bigger. You got to see the bigger picture.
And it's not by our works anyways.
And it is not.
It's all Him doing it.
It's all Him doing it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to share that because you have to encourage. You have to know that the Lord's going to supply and take care of you. That's kind of my point here. What else does the Lord want me to say? The Lord says that confusion, discouragement, and questioning things. You may wonder why you don't always see your purpose when you're struggling, when you're down. But sometimes you have to get before the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I know you're trying to teach me something. Help me get through that. I don't believe the Lord brings cancer. I do not believe in that. I do not believe that the Lord causes illness upon you. I don't believe in that. There are people out there that do. I do not believe that. And so I believe that we need to stand in the Word of God and get through that struggle and steal the spoils from the enemy. Wow. As I look back on my time with the Lord, there are times when I just wanted to quit. I had enough. But what I realized was I might not understand a particular attack that comes, but I've learned in my old age to keep on pressing in. And knowing He's going to take me through it.
Amen.
The Lord showed me that all of His fruit, His resources, His strength, His spiritual wealth, He will supply us in the way that we need.
Amen.
So, truthfully, I really couldn't have ever gotten even where I'm at right now behind this pulpit if it was not from the Holy Spirit. So I urge all of you in this room today, take hold of your trials by faith. Trusting that the Lord will take you through those trials and make you an overcomer. He will make you stronger to help you to take the spoils from Satan, to make you a blessing to others. That's the key. And to sanctify everything because of His glory. So I tell you today, put on that spiritual armor and see what He has for you today and what He wants you to do and what He wants you to take. Mm-hmm. So it's going to benefit you and benefit the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, I thank You for this message. I thank You, Father, that You will seal it in the heavenlies as well as here on earth and in each one of our hearts. Father, help us to understand this message. Help us to understand, Father, that You are with us, that You give us the spoils in the battle. In Jesus' name, amen.